How's everybody? Y'all know that was weak. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Amen. Well, my name is Scott Turner, and I serve as associate pastor here at Prestonwood, and I'm so honored to be with you all again. I was grateful to be here last weekend, and Pastor Connor sends his love and his greetings. I just love Connor. He's a true servant, leader, and a true kingdom man, a churchman, he and his family. But I'm happy to share the pulpit with him today. And also glad to have my dad here. Mr. Eric Turner is here with me. My father is here. And so we're grateful to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. So last week, we discussed the power to overcome complacency. Was anybody challenged in this area last week after our message? It's always a challenge to not become complacent, to overcome stagnation, if you will. But we must continue on in our growth and our relationship with Christ and not to become complacent. Our text last week and again this week is in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, no. And that's an explicit no. No, not now, not ever. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In Christ Jesus, we as believers, we have the power and the ability to live as overcomers. Amen? By the power of the Holy Ghost, we can live as overcomers. And I want to stay in that same vein today and talk about the power to overcome discouragement. The power to overcome discouragement. What is discouragement? Discouragement is a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. It is dispiritedness, a loss of confidence and enthusiasm. All of us in here, at one time or another, have experienced or dealt with or battled, if you will, a spirit of discouragement in our life. Can I get a witness? Each of us in here today, no matter how young or old you are, we have all been disappointed by something or someone. And at some point in our life, we have lacked confidence and lacked enthusiasm as well. And in this day and age, and really throughout the ages, there have been a lot of events and occurrences that have caused or given reason for national, even global disappointment, which in turn can cause one to feel or experience discouragement, even though, although it doesn't direct you personally or impact you directly, we can feel a collective discouragement. For example, the atrocities of ethnic genocide, the Holocaust, the inhumane and ungodly institution and business of slavery, both in our nation's past as well as in current day in different parts of the world, in all kinds of form of human trafficking, world wars, civil wars, current day wars, rumors of wars, acts of terrorism, financial meltdowns, the brokenness of the family, fatherlessness, the breakdown of the church, homelessness, crime, senseless murders, acts of violence and poverty, and so on and so forth. All of these can bring great disappointment on a collective stage, if you will, which in turn can foster a spirit of discouragement amongst the people. But let's bring it down to a personal level. Oftentimes when we're discouraged, it's because we feel as if we're missing something or something is lacking. Something's not right. There's a void, there's a gap, if you will. Like we're void or missing a spirit of joy or happiness or contentment. We have the unfulfillment of a promise that was made. Maybe it's the loss of a job or the rejection of a new position that you were going for, the breakup of a relationship that you thought would last forever. The disappointment of your children acting out and not making good decisions. Maybe it's a goal that has not been met or a dream that has not yet been realized. These things and others, they can cause personal disappointment and they can bring about discouragement. But rest assured, church family, we all have experienced this together. We've all experienced disappointment and discouragement in our life, but the good news is that we are not alone. Amen? We're not alone in this. This is not unique to any one of us. And I thank God that although that I've been through discouragement, that you've been through disappointment, although we've been through that, that Jesus will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Our sufficiency is in him. There is no lack. There is no want in Christ. And I thank him. I thank him that he'll never leave me, that he'll never forsake me. And I thank God for his word. We're more than conquerors, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. David said, oh, my soul within me, why are you downcast? He said, I will yet praise the Lord. That's in Psalms. The word also says that we are the head and not the tail. God's word says that we are above only and never beneath. That we're blessed going out and we're blessed coming in. That we're blessed in the city and we're blessed in the field. That we're the heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A righteous man falls 7 times, but then he gets back up. We are justified. We are sanctified. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by not loving our life unto death. We are the children of God. We're the children of the King. We're led by God. We're fed by God. His word is a final authority in your life and in mine. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forevermore. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning, and he's the end. This is the word of God that I'm speaking. God's word brings life. It helps us to overcome discouragement. Amen. Oh, y'all can clap. It's the word of God. Come on. Last week, how many were encouraged by hearing the word of God just then? Let me see you. Last week, amen to that, I read a stat that said 9%, only 9% of people who profess Christianity read their Bibles on a daily basis. Do y'all remember that? Only 9%. We just spent 30 seconds and recited and read the word of God. My heart, your heart was encouraged. So the question is, what keeps us from getting into the word of God on a daily basis, knowing that there's power, knowing that there's deliverance, knowing that there's joy, knowing that there's a provision and salvation? Why do we not get in the word of God knowing these things? I just want to put that out there for you and me. God's word is an encouragement. His word brings life. His word helps us to overcome discouragement. Let's look at Psalm 23 together. Psalm 23, the context for this. We believe, scholars believe, I personally believe that David is the biblical author of the 23rd Psalm. And through study, there is no persuasive information or facts that would make me or make others doubt that this was written by David. While we don't have a historical aspect, we're not for sure of the historicity of this particular passage or the circumstances surrounding him when he wrote it, we can assert that David wrote this in his advanced years of life as he reflected back on the times of God watched over him and was so merciful to him and was gracious to him in his life as a shepherd watches over his flock. Is everybody with me? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The main point here is that God will always provide. He always provided for David. And that he would not have want. That he would not be in lack. That he would not be unfulfilled or feel as if he was missing something. Like our definition of discouragement. In this particular psalm, David led with this thought in full belief that God, Jehovah Jireh, would always provide for him. David had a made-up mind that God would do what he said he would do. How about you this morning? Do you have a made-up mind that God will provide? Let's look at verse 1, and we're going to concentrate on verse 1 for this particular sermon. The verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Not a Lord, not some Lord, not a figure of the Lord. No, it says the Lord, the one and only true God. Typically, when the term Lord, it denotes one having a title of power or authority or influence. But when David says the Lord here in Psalm 23, he is referring to Jehovah, to Yahweh, God Almighty, the ruler of the universe. It's the same Lord that he talked about in Psalm 24:1 when he says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein." Not just Lord by title, but Lord by character, Lord by deity, Lord by supremacy, the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. Are you with me? If discouragement tries to come upon you, which it does, and we all know this, when you get disappointed and you start feeling like you're missing something, or you're without something, or something is lacking in your life, I want you to think about who the Lord is and remind yourself of the attributes or the characteristics, if you will, of the Lord. Remember who he is and remind yourself of his attributes, and I want to share a few of them here. Number one, the Lord, he is infinite. That means that he is self-existing. He's without origin. Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." God is self-existent. He was created by nothing. He has always been, he's existed forever, and this is perhaps the hardest thing for you and I as believers to understand and to grasp. Why? Because we are limited, but God is limitless. We are finite, but he is infinite. There is no limit to God. Amen? Dr. Adrian Rogers, he said this about the self-existence of God. He said, "The root of his name means self-existing, one who came into being and one who always will be. When Moses asked God, 'Who shall I tell Pharaoh has sent me?' God said, 'I am that I am has sent you.'" Church, when you feel that you are discouraged or you feel down, remember that I am is with you. The infinite, limitless God. Are you with me? The Lord is immutable. Y'all ever heard that word? Immutable. I like saying it. And this is why God never changes. Immutable means that he is always the same. Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, may not be destroyed. So you, the descendants of Jacob, because I do not change, you shall not be destroyed." God does not change. Who he is never changes. And as we all know, people, we change. People change sometimes day to day. Sometimes people change hour to hour. Y'all know anybody like this? You never know what you're gonna get. And I laugh about that a little bit because when I was writing this and I was meditating on this, I challenged myself. Let that not be me. Is there consistency in my life? When you see me, no matter where I am, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter what the situation, am I the same? Let's all ask ourselves, are we consistent? So when people are around us, they know what they're going to get. Amen? We don't have to worry about that with God. He's immutable. His attributes are always the same. Before the beginning of time into eternity, he never changes. He never gets better. He never gets worse. His character remains the same. His promises do not change. This ought to give us great confidence and comfort and joy as believers in the Lord Jesus. God's purposes do not fail. His promises are unshakable. His promises are untouchable. So you, me, we can rest assured that nothing, no hardship, no persecution, no failures, no famine, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Knowing that God is unchanging should give you great confidence and trust, knowing that the Lord, he is dependable. That no matter the disappointment, no matter the struggle, no matter the hardship, no matter your situation, no matter your circumstance, the Lord is there. He is dependable. Hebrews 13:8. It said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. The Lord is omnipotent. Omni means all, potent means powerful. That means that the Lord is all powerful. In Psalm 24:8, it says, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Ladies and gentlemen, children, you are not in this battle of life alone. The Lord is great. He is mighty. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. There is nothing too hard for the Lord to accomplish. That includes bringing the high places in your life low. That means bringing and making the rough places in your life smooth. It includes encouraging your heart when you're feeling down and blue. That sounds like a country song. I like country music. But you always got to encourage yourself in the Lord after you listen to it. But anyway, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And according to God's infinite power and ability, he can do all things. He can do everything. He can do anything except contradict himself and his character. God is not a man. He cannot lie. He cannot endure, nor does he tolerate sin. But in those times of discouragement, God can deliver you out of darkness and bring you into his glorious light. Because he is the Lord. Do you know him for yourself? Do you know the Lord? God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He knows everything. So you can't really trick him. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. Not only is he all-powerful, he's all-knowing. And not only is he all-knowing, he is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. Anybody else can make that claim? The Lord can. I want to encourage you to continue in your quiet time with God to study the character and the attributes of God. It will encourage you and it will help you not only to grow in your relationship to him, but it will cause you to overcome discouragement. Look back at our text. David said, the Lord, we studied the Lord. He said this, he is my shepherd. Not a shepherd, not some sort of shepherd, not his or her shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew in a personal sense the Lord. And therefore, he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you, church, do you, men and women of God, young people, do you know the Lord in this manner? Can you say personally that the Lord is my shepherd? Or do you have to defer to someone else and say, well, he's their shepherd. He's his shepherd. But can you say, he's mine? When David thought about God, he thought about his relationship with him. And he made this analogy of God being a shepherd to him and he being like a sheep to God. See, David knew the functions of a shepherd and the responsibilities. As he reflects back on his early days of shepherding his own flock, God is my shepherd. Many times in the scripture, we'll see God referred to as a shepherd. Charles Spurgeon, he often referred to Psalms 23 as the pearl of the Psalms. He had a publication called The Sword and the Trial, on the Trial. And in 1866, he featured Psalm 23 in his publication. And this is what Spurgeon said. He said, the sweetest word of the whole is that monosyllable, my. He does not say the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large and leadeth forth the multitude as his flock, but the Lord is my shepherd. If he be a shepherd to no one else, Spurgeon said, he is a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches over me and he preserves me. These words are written in present tense. So no matter your present situation as a believer in the Lord, no matter your current position, you and I are always under the pastoral care of Jehovah God. The Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd? In a natural sense, a shepherd is the one who cares for his flock. If the sheep get hungry, the shepherd is the one who leads them to the pasture that they may eat and be satisfied. If the flock is thirsty, the shepherd is the one who provides them water to drink. If the flock is in danger of a predator, the shepherd is the one who provides protection. Why? Because they cannot protect themselves. If the sheep get sick or if they become feverish, the shepherd is the one who provides a remedy. Why? Because they cannot heal themselves. Does this sound familiar to anybody here this morning? In a literal sense, although we are not sheep, we too need a shepherd. And that is the Lord. Our relationship with him is like the shepherd and his sheep. God is a provider of food, water, clothing, shelter, and protection. Look at Matthew 6:25-26. It says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? He is our shepherd. He is our provider. David writes here, and he makes a comparison of the care that God gives his people to the care of a shepherd to his flock. And the language that you see in this passage is one of tenderness and protection and provision of God for his children. The Lord is our shepherd. Amen? I remember my own life of God being a provider and a protector and a deliverer. I was playing in the NFL and I was playing for the Chargers, but I was without a contract. And Daddy, you remember this, in 2001, I had just got nominated for the Pro Bowl and special teams. I was coming up as a free agent. I was gonna get a new contract. That was my dream, that was my goal, my second contract in the NFL, which is a big deal. Well, March of 2001 came and went. April came and went. May came and went. Not one phone call from one team, including the team that I just prayed for. How many know discouragement started to creep in? The dream had not yet been realized. The goal had not yet been revealed. But I remember when I was calling on the name of the Lord, I said, Lord, you are my provider. You are my shepherd. You are my protector. And as I leaned in on him and I called on him and I stood on Psalm 23, I said, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. God began to open doors of opportunity. The word began to come to life. Goals began to be realized. Dreams came true. And I got that phone call from the charge. They said, son, we want you to come back. You don't even have to work out because we know you're faithful. We know you're in shape. Just come back and sign this contract. We were playing the Seattle Seahawks, and I started that day. How many know God is a provider? Amen. So I'm not just preaching and teaching about what I heard or about what I learned. I'm preaching and teaching about what God has called me to live. We all face discouragement, but God is my shepherd. And then David said, I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is the main message of this passage. And like David, we can make the claim that because the Lord is our shepherd, we will have no lack. We will have no want. Not because of the money that we have in the bank or the resources that we have available to us, but because God is our provider. The word want right here is also used in Exodus 16 and 17. You may recall when God sent manna or provision from heaven. In verse 17, it says, and the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. How is this? It is because it is from God in heaven. Everybody got just the amount that they need. How many know that God is always right on time? When David said, I shall not want, there's no reason that we should presume or suppose that he just meant his temporary needs or just the present life that he was living. But instead, what he was saying, he was speaking of how God had provided for him in times past, how God was providing in the current day, and yes, how God provides for always. He does the same for you and I. He's the good shepherd. And because he is the good shepherd, we shall not want. Remember, discouragement is the feeling that you are missing or lacking something. But in God, our shepherd, as the word says, we shall not want. And I want to encourage you this morning as believers. Always remember that God is your shepherd. And that he will take care of you. No matter what your situation looks like, lean on him. No matter what's going on in your life, if it seems that there is no way out, remember that God is your shepherd and that he is a way maker. If discouragement is creeping in, if the devil is lying, you're fighting against your flesh, the world seems to be against you, remember that the Lord, he is your shepherd. And he'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He'll comfort you. He will deliver you. He will raise you up. Amen. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Remember, the Lord is mighty in battle. You're not fighting alone. As we close this morning, I want to encourage you as you grow in your relationship with the Lord, as you battle and you fight and you overcome discouragement. Three things. Number one, look back. Take a look back. Like David in our text, he was reflecting on how God had provided for him and the blessings of the Lord throughout his life. We too ought to look back. Just like I shared about the story with the Chargers, I was looking back on how God provided, on how he delivered. You and I, got to look back and remember the goodness of the Lord in your life. Look back at the times that God delivered you from a bad situation. The times that God made a way out of no way. Remember when God brought the right person into your life at the right time and he removed the people in your life that were no good for you at the right time. Remember when God did it. We need to look back and give thanks to the blessings of God, to the blessings of the Lord in our life. And I found that when I do this, when I take time to remember, when I take time to reflect on what God has done, on the blessings of God in my life, my perspective changes. My mind becomes clear. My vision is not distorted. My mind becomes more solid and made up that God is my shepherd, that he is my provider. Look at what he has done. When discouragement may come in, when you may feel that you're lacking or you feel that you're wanting, when you look back and reflect on the blessings of God, discouragement cannot hang around. It must be defeated. Number two, you got to look around. If you're feeling discouraged, be still. Sit before God and take a look around. Just the simple fact that we have the breath of life is a blessing of the Lord. Look around today. We have an opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, gathered together to worship, to pray, to sing, to preach, to teach, to listen to the word of God. That is a blessing. Take a look around. When you see the hand of the Lord all around us, just go outside and look at the sunshine. Look at the rain that falls from heaven. Look at the flowers that bloom. Look at the humidity of Texas. Look around. Look to your neighbor. We're here together. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God in Psalm 19 of 1. The skies display his craftsmanship. When David was speaking in Psalm 23, he was speaking in the present tense, as I said before. He said this, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He restores me." Not that he led me, not that he did restore me. He leads me now. He restores me now. He delivers me now. He is my shepherd. Are you with me? Look around. God's always working on your behalf. You may not see him with your natural eye, but he's always working, always providing, always guiding you and I. I bet when David was leading his flock and those sheep that were in the back of the flock, they didn't see when David came to the edge of the cliff and he turned around to lead the flock from falling to peril and their death. The sheep in the back didn't know why they turned around. All they knew is that we turn it. Oh yeah, we turn. Doesn't matter why. I'm following the shepherd. How many times has God done something in your life that you don't know why? You don't know what can I get a witness from anybody? You don't know how it happened, but God has been leading you and guiding you and healing you and raising you up. You may not have seen it with your natural eye, but in your spiritual mind, you know that it is the hand of God. Look around. I remember when I was in the legislature and I live in Frisco, and I represented this area, Frisco, Blue Ridge, Farmersville, and all of Rockwall County. They would call a vote, and I would have to go down to Austin. The vote would be late at night, or some people were acting up, and we couldn't have the vote until the wee hours of the morning. But I was trying to get back home to my family, not spend the night in Austin. And so we would take that vote in the wee hours of the morning. I would get in that Tahoe, and I would drive on the God-forsaken 35. Sleepy. Knowing I'm not supposed to be on the road. And let me put, if you're sleepy, please do not drive. But y'all, I would tell you, there's times when I made it home and I pulled into the driveway and I said, "Lord, I know it was only by your hand and your grace that I made it home." There's also wisdom in doing the right thing. But for illustration of how God does show up even when we don't know how, we know it's the hand of the Lord. Amen? Look around. And lastly, look ahead. You got to look back. You got to look around. Now look ahead in order to overcome discouragement. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to always live with great anticipation for the coming of the Lord. In order to overcome discouragement, like David, we need to look back, we need to look around, and we need to look ahead. In Psalm 23:6, David said this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David knew that no matter what the current situation looked like, the end situation would always be better. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter your situation or your circumstance, as believers, we win. Look ahead. Don't fix your eyes on what you see. 2 Corinthians 4:18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient or temporary. But the things that are unseen, they are eternal. Your situation is going to change. Don't just fix your eyes on what you see. Fix your eyes on what you don't see. The promises of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the deliverance of God. Oftentimes we get bogged down in discouragement because we're just looking right here. But God said, reach beyond your grasp. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. There's no shifting. There's no shadow. There's no turning in him. Remember, he's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's infinite. He is immutable. Look ahead. Don't get bogged down by what you see. Remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Be encouraged, church. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He sent Jesus to die for us, to shed his blood for us. That's number one. And because we accept him as Lord and Savior, we have the power to overcome discouragement. There's nothing that can hold us back. There's nothing that can defeat us because we roll with Jesus. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. How about you? Is he your shepherd today? Do you know it for yourself? Amen. Let's stand together and pray. We come to our time of decision. You know, as I look around, I'm so grateful. Because however many people are here, I don't even know how many. Maybe it's 1,000. I don't know. Maybe it's 800. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. We're here together. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody has a scenario, circumstance, situation that's going on in your life. You're all unique. But remember, you are loved by God. You're here today for a reason. It's not a coincidence. It's not just happenstance. It's divine. We serve a divine, awesome God. If you're discouraged this morning, remember, God is your shepherd. If you're discouraged this morning, remember the characteristics and the attributes of God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior this morning, do not leave this church without having a blessed assurance that Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life. This is the time that we're having right now. If you don't know him, today is your day. The Bible said this is the day of God's favor. This is the day of salvation. Do you know Jesus? When one repents and turns away from their sin and accepts Jesus, the Bible said that the angels in heaven rejoice. If that's you today, will you come? We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to put you out front. Just come so the pastors count. Myself, we will talk to you, love on you, answer your questions. But don't leave here today without that blessed assurance. Maybe you want to be baptized. like the precious people we had earlier and the ones we have coming. Maybe you want to go through believer's baptism. You're saved. You've given your life to Christ, but you've never been baptized. We welcome you to come. We'll take you down in the water. Maybe you want to just join the church. We welcome you too. It's a great body of believers. We got a lot of work to do. Amen. And it's up to the church. Maybe you just want to come and pray. The altar is open for you. Our pastors will be down front. Is that you today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these your children. God, I thank you for the call of God that is on our life. Thank you for your word that has gone forward. Now, Father, we humble ourselves before you. Father, we lay our life down, Father God, that you may lift us up. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who died on the cross and gave his life, Father, that we, Father, would not be damned to hell, but Father, we can live in eternity in heaven with you. We thank you, God. Lord, I pray that those that you are calling to come, Father, take away every hindrance. And Lord, let them come. Bring them forth, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.